down the road, you'd be more disappointed by the things you didn't do than the ones you did. So dream, explore, say yes to life. Be inspired to live life as an exciting adventure of discovery. You are listening to the Inspire Possibility Show, and I'm your host, Mark Susnell. Hi, everybody. This is Mark Susnell. Thanks for tuning in to the Inspire Possibility Show. And every week I have conversations with various cutting-edge thought leaders, people I think who are trendsetters, people who have something to offer. And also, because this is a show about inspiration, people who will inspire us to think outside the box, to think greater, and to perhaps do things that we never thought we could do. And sometimes in those moments, we have these aha experiences that change our lives. And so that's why I invited Mitchell Levy to be on our show, because he's known as the aha guy, and he's an expert in creating thought leaders, whatever that means. And we're going to ask Mitchell. He's also written several books. He's been a TEDx speaker. He's an international best-selling author, and he actually has a publishing company that can actually help you write a book about what your expertise is. So, Mitchell, I've been looking forward to this show for ever since we met a few months ago. So welcome to the Inspire Possibility Show.
Ooh, great to be here, and I'm excited that you're looking forward to it. Here we are. Let's hope it meets your expectations.
Yes, let's do that. Let's do that. So tell me, what this idea, I use thought leader all the time, and I've even added cutting edge in my introduction that I just did today. I've used it kind of broadly, but I consider myself a thought leader. But what do you actually mean, since you're the expert in this about creating thought leaders? What is a thought leader?
You know, it's a interesting term that's changed so many times, and particularly over the ages. So let's go back. What I want to do is I'll give you a definition of what it was. I'll give you a definition of what it is today. For those that want a picture while I'm speaking, you can go to the website thinkaha.com, and there's a tab there for thought leadership. And you could click on the tab, and I have a 2x2, which we talk about. And there's videos and other things. So that's at thinkaha.com. So in the past, thought leaders were given to us by the recording studios, by the broadcast media, or by the publishers. We were actually told who we were going to listen to, who we were going to see on the big screen, the small screen, or who we were going to read. And those thought leaders, because the publishers were spending so much money, those thought leaders were the be-all, end-all. They were the people we were expected to look up to, and they would say jump, and their flock would say how high. So in the past, the word thought leader referred to the person who was leading the space, leading the pack, and basically told the world within the vertical they played what we were going to do or who we were going to listen to or what we were going to read. Okay. So let's fast forward to today. Starting about 20 years ago, anyone who wants to can have a microphone, can have a camera, can actually start sharing their opinions. And many people were able to build a following of those that were interested in who they were and what they were doing, and subsequently the definition of thought leadership has changed. And what I want to say is sometimes this word thought leader takes up so much cachet in people's mind. Let's use the word thought leader synonymously with the word recognized expert.
All right.
Okay. So thought leader and recognized expert. Here's the thing.
One thing in this where you're going also to really look at what it means to be a leader. So that's something to kind of add into the whole where you're going with this.
Well, it is. So the word thought leader implies that you're leading a direction. You're leading the focus. You're coming up with new thoughts that nobody else has had before. The word recognized expert is something different. And so what a recognized expert, if we're going to incorporate the word leading into it, what a recognized expert is somebody who could lead a client to help them solve a problem.
Uh-huh.
That's really what it comes down to, is if you have an issue, a pain point, a problem you need to get resolved, what do you do? How do you solve it? Well, you either go to somebody you know. So if there's somebody who's a friend or family member who you trust, that you like and you trust, you need to go to them and say, hey, can you solve this for me? Now, let's say you don't have everyone immediately that you know. Then you go to your friend base and you go, hey, do you know anyone who knows? Right? Because that referral basis makes a lot of sense. And if none of that happens, then you go into your friend Google and you say, I have a problem with the following. Who could solve my issue? Right? Now, the cool part is we have access to people now around the world. And so the question becomes, who do we actually now work with? Well, in the past, we'd go after the one and only thought leader. Now we have the opportunity to go after many recognized experts. So the thing I would think about for those who are in business today is, how do you become one of those recognized experts, or better yet, and this is, I did a TED talk on this topic, how do you become known, liked, and trusted? Right? Because we do business with those we know, like, and trust. And so that thought leader, that recognized expert, is a person who's sharing just the right amount of content with just the right audience. And so that's really, if you think about thought leadership, I have a 2x2 at the Think Aha site. It's really a definition is audience by content. If you have no audience and no content, you're unknown. If you have a large audience but your content's very narrow, you're an evangelist. And evangelism is not looked at positively these days in the business space, because if you're an evangelist and you only speak about one topic, you don't seem authentic. If you're not authentic, you can't be trusted. If you're not trusted, people don't want to do business with you. If you're an expert, what that means is you have a very narrow audience, but you have a good amount of content. And all we want to do in business today is we want to grow the audience that we interact with and demonstrate to them that we're an expert at what they do so we could solve their problem. And you call them thought leaders or recognized experts.
Yeah. So it sounds like you're using those words interchangeably.
Yes.
Yeah. And the difference is that thought leader has a little more cachet than recognized expert.
I would say there's, in your mind, that's fine, but there's no difference.
Yeah.
Right? Because give you a classic example, David, you're a little bit older. Oh, I was thinking about David Mark. So you're a little bit older than many people, but when you were young, or if you look at somebody's kids and they feel sick and they have a cold, who do they go to? Their thought leader, their recognized expert
Google.
Is mom.
Uh-huh.
Well, or Google if they're not
Google.
Living with their family, right? Or
Google,
right? So that's why we do the types of things to make sure that, hey, who can solve our problem? And if we have somebody immediately available, they're our thought leader. If you were sick and you went to mom and she told you what to do, that was it. She was your thought leader. You lived with her, right? So
yes,
that's kind of why I use those words interchangeably.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, all right. So that's good, because in a way, like I say, it was a word in my mind with a lot of cachet that no one really understood. It was just a very broad, generic concept, and so you bring it down to really how. And so sounds like from what you're saying that almost everybody has the potential to be a recognized expert if they really focus on one thing and to become a thought leader. Is that kind of what you agree with that, or?
Yes, and if you don't mind me adding to it. Anyone who's in business today and somebody pays you to do something and you satisfy them, you are by definition a recognized expert, right? You get expertise given to you because somebody's paying you to do their stuff and they recognize you that you could solve their problems, so you're a recognized expert.
Uh-huh. Right.
Simple.
So what's interesting is about you is you're known as the aha guy. Tell me how that came about. I mean, that's a great definition.
I love that title. I love that title too. And I wish I could say, I think I got stuck on the word thought leader like you did. just for too long, right? So I was, 2005, I started a book publishing company. We now have four companies. I've published over 800 books. And the quintessential element of thought leadership is a book. When I realized that the book industry and book publishing has really become so democratized that anyone who could do a book, anyone who wants to do a book can, and it's really that easy, I realized I was going to go back into consulting. And so this is what's really cool about LinkedIn. I went to LinkedIn. I became the first thought leader architect in the world, which meant that I could architect companies and individuals' thought leadership. And it was an interesting title. And by the way, as an aside, my first client was so excited. I knew so much about publishing. I sold one of my publishing companies but kept the rest because they were excited that I knew so much. So I decided it was an asset, not something to get rid of. The interesting part is I kept the word, that phrase, thought leader architect. And for somewhere between 2 to 3 years, I would let all my friends, people know I was a thought leader architect. And what bothered me a little bit is sometimes some of my friends could really have used my service, but they never called me. And and one of my friends kept every time I saw him, said, "Hey, Mitchell, you're the aha guy." Really? He goes, and so for about a year, I just sort of let it sit. And I saw him again. He goes, "Mitchell." And I went to him and said, "How? There's so many people who could use my services, but they're not just immediately remember me." And his response was, "Well, that's because you're the aha guy. You're not the thought leader architect. I don't know what that is." And so it was interesting coming up with this phrase, thought leader architect. Architecturally, I thought that was very cool. That sounded really cool. I thought people would get it immediately.
When you said that, a little bit in my mind, it was a little confusing to me, because I thought about, like, maybe he's an architect. I mean, that's what came up for me, where the aha guy is totally, you know, there.
Well, so I'm so happy you said that, because what happened is within the first week, I got more referrals from friends than I had received in the entire previous couple of years, because people kind of knew how they refer the aha guy. They didn't know how to refer the thought leader architect.
Right.
So yeah. So I wish I could say I had my own personal aha moment and I said that's my name, but it was somebody who looked at me from afar and said, you know, you're using the wrong title, buddy.
Right.
You got to use the aha guy.
Mm-hmm. So it was there all the time in other people's minds, but it took you a while to actually get it yourself, even though other people were getting it.
That's what life is about. That's why we should always go through life with at least one mentor and two mentees. That's why we should always be open to the gifts that people give us. I mean, that guy gave me the gift a year before. I could have been using it a year earlier. I just wasn't open to it.
Right.
So, and that's what an aha message is. An aha message is somebody's giving you a gift. They give you an opportunity where you can think about the world in a slightly different way. And I think as humans, our job is to listen more than we speak. And as people are talking and giving us their gifts, that some of them we need to actually accept. Maybe all of them, but at least some of them we need to accept and use. And that aha moment is, and what I do, what I package, I allow people to deliver their gifts and aha moments. And I think the simplicity of what we're doing is demonstrating expertise, is showing that you have a series of aha moments to share with others. And any one of those aha moments may capture somebody's attention, and that's the cool part.
Right. Yeah. And the other thing that, from reading your materials, that you do is you're able to more or less discover what someone's inner genius is and to help them manifest that and put it out there so other people recognize them. And that's how do you
want that? Do you want the small or do you want the short or long story?
I think we ought to stick with the short story for this show.
Short story. Absolutely. Not a problem. So short story, I'll jump to the end. What we do, what I do is I'll interview somebody for 2 hours, and I'll pull the genius out of their head. And then what we have is we have a team of experts. So I have a bunch of writers who I've sent through writing school, and then they will write the book for the person who's who I've interviewed. And we will produce a book in both paperback and hardcover. We do color on the inside, and we also run a Amazon bestseller campaign. And so what happens is, with some amount of money spent, with somewhere between 5 to 10 hours, the duration being about 2 to 3 months, the person ends up being a Amazon best-selling author with a book that they now demonstrate that they're the expert in their space. And that's what we do, is we pull out that inner genius and we focus on what it is that the expert does for their client base. Pretty simple.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I find it simple.
So,
to me,
so
I find
one
it
way
simple,
of how
you know.
is do this is through publishing a book, right? And then the other is social media. And what I find for myself and lots of people I talk to is that social media, there always seems to be a new platform. And the question really is it gets confusing. A lot of times people lose interest. And so tell us one of the things that you talk about is how to use social media effectively in 5 minutes a day. Can you kind of tell us more about that?
Oh, sure. So here's an interesting thought, right? So let's say you're sitting in an office and somebody in the office brings you a cup of coffee, or you sent somebody to the printer and they were picking up their print job and they picked up yours and they gave it to you. What are you going to do? You're going to look up at them, most likely or hopefully, and you're going to say, thank you. Right? It seems pretty obvious. So how come on social media, when people love us, share us, like us, forward the stuff that we share on social media, that we ignore them? So that's what happens in today's world. We're not treating social media socially. We're not treating it properly. We're treating social media. So remember, these are two words, right? It's the word social. And think of me as I have the double quotes going up. I have the word social, and then you add the plus sign, and then the word media. And most people think of social media as media. Hey, I have a microphone.
Right.
Let's talk about me. I'm going to talk about me because I'm important, and the most important person to me and the most important to you should be me. Well, that's not how it works. That's not appropriate. And what I suggest happens, and here's how you do social media in 5 minutes a day. Now, whether or not it's 5 minutes or 50 minutes, you can – the same percentage that I'm going to share applies. And that is – so we'll talk about 5 minutes. So you wake up in the morning. And you spend 1 minute, 20% of that time you have, you spend 1 minute sharing good, compelling content. So basically, this means you can either, you know, create 2 or 3 tweets, or you share a couple posts on LinkedIn, or you share it on Facebook. By the way, the social media platform you use should be the social media platform that you're finding your clients on. So you don't have to go – it doesn't matter what's the new fangled thing unless your customers are there. If your customers are there, then you should use it. So wake up in the morning, spend a minute, share a couple pieces of content, whether or not you've originated them or maybe you've read it. I read the New York Times every day. So if there's an article I like, I'll send out a link to the New York Times article, right? So whether you wrote it or not, you share pieces of content. Now, then go away. Either come back in the afternoon or come back a couple hours later and spend 80% of your time, i.e. 4 minutes, commenting and touching the people who touch your content. So if somebody liked your content or made a comment, respond to them. If somebody forwarded to them, at least thank them, right?
Uh-huh.
So 80% of the time you spend on social media should be interacting with the people who touch your content. 20% should be sharing content, and even of that, a small percentage should be content about you. Most of it should be other compelling pieces of content that you think your audience would find fascinating.
Right.
And that's how you could do social media in 5 minutes a day, or if you did in 50 minutes or whatever the time frame is, that 80-20 rule, 80% of your time should be touching the people who touch your content.
Right, and yet most people, that's not what they do, right? I mean, that's probably what...
No.
I've noticed, they don't do that. I'm guilty of that myself. And what you're saying is to make it work for you. I mean, that makes total sense. I've heard this before. I don't know if the exact percentage, but about really making it social as opposed to, as you said, just media.
Well,
So
Mark,
that's a great
let's be
suggestion.
let me drill that home, just so you don't mind, just for a second. So
Go ahead.
let's say you were in an office with somebody else, and every day you went to grab yourself a cup of coffee, they had said, "Hey, get me a cup anytime." So you would bring them a cup of coffee. First day, they said, "Thank you." So you brought them a cup of coffee.
Right.
Next day, you bring them a cup of coffee. They don't even look up from their desk. They don't even thank you. All day goes by. They don't thank you whatsoever. Next day, you bring them a cup of coffee, the same treatment. They don't look up to their desk. They don't thank you. They don't thank you all day. Are you going to bring them the coffee on day four?
Right.
And
Probably
the
not.
answer is probably not. And if the answer is not, then why would people want to read your stuff and continue to comment on your stuff if you're not talking to them and interacting with them and thanking them and
Right.
helping them? Okay.
So
So
what you're
just
saying
drilling
is
it
if
home.
somebody likes something you did, to thank them for liking it, is
Yeah,
what
and
you're
now
suggesting?
you don't have to thank them, you don't have to thank them all the time, but
Right.
when I post stuff, particularly if I'm running a Facebook Live, anyone who shares my stuff, I'm going to go on their post and thank them. I'm going to like it and then thank them. And then if I do a post, I'm going to try, particularly anyone who comments, I always respond to comments. I'll like and respond to the comment. Unless I really, if I don't like the comment, I'll respond. And if the comment is really off base, what I'll typically do, if it's somebody I like and the comment's off base, I'll send a note that says, "Hey, listen, I just didn't like this comment," and then I delete it. All right. So if you're going to go to my site and my social media, you're going to see stuff that's in context of what we're talking about. I've got a guy, I can't believe he does this all the time. Every time I do a post, if he needs to talk to me, he'll write on my post, "Oh, Mitchell, it's time for us to talk." And I'm like, it's so, anyway, I have a call with him this afternoon, and what I'll say, I'll remind him that that's not the right way to communicate with me. Right, it's just blocking. I mean, just for those listening, think about what you would do in the physical world and see whether or not it makes sense for you to apply those same practices in the online world.
It's really about social, I mean, in a way, it comes down to, I think what happens is because of this social media, people forget sometimes their social skills.
Well, they think it's a microphone they could speak into, right? They don't recognize that there's also a set of earbuds that you need to put in your ears and listen to.
And the other thing about today, it just seems that publishing is so much easier. I mean, I know that when I published my first book, which was about 10 years ago, it was a bigger, it was more challenging because there wasn't the ease of Amazon. Amazon didn't have the credibility that it does now, and people were still looking for agents and publishers. And now it's so much easier with services like
Well, it
yours that,
is. So it is with a caveat. So let's be clearer. So here's what happens. Let me give you a bigger picture. So if somebody's going to write, we've published over 800 books. So what I'll tell you, I like the spine size when a book is about 120 pages. It just has a nice feel to it. It's not too big, not too small. And typically what would happen if somebody spends and wants to write themselves a book that's 120 pages, they'll spend about 120 hours. It's about an hour a page. And then as a publisher, yeah, you can go to Amazon and go to CreateSpace and publish yourself, but we distribute in 80-plus locations, so a number of places, including Amazon, but tons of other places, and we'll save the author about 200 hours of time. So let's add those two numbers together. So 120 hours to write, 200 hours to publish. So there are still people, because it's easy, they're going to want to spend their time writing and publishing their own book. Now, remember, this is 320 hours, and what I said before is I will spend or cost you about 10 hours. Right? So you could pay us money and then spend 10 hours of your time and we'll do the rest. So what's fascinating is just because this is what I say to my son, he's now 20, but I said to him, son, just because you can doesn't mean you should. So just because you could self-publish and write your own book doesn't mean you should, because I now have a service that you could spend about 10 hours of your time, become a best-selling author, and then because I've saved you 310 hours, if you took that 310 hours and use that to market yourself with your international or your best-selling book, think about how much business you'd bring for yourself. And this is the transformation people need to make, right? That's what I was getting at, Mark. That's what people need to think differently.
Right.
So tell people how they get a hold of you. We're kind of getting so near the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the platform is ahathat.com, ahathat.com. So go there if you want to. We have got 45,000 pieces of content you could share automatically for free. If you go to ahathat.com/author, you can learn how to write. We have a three-step writing process. And if you want to contact me, you can just Google my name. It's Mitchell Levy, M-I-T-C-H-E-L-L, last name L-E-V-Y. If you Google Mitchell Levy TED Talk, you can watch my TED Talk. What will happen when you Google my name, the search engine companies spend hundreds of millions of dollars to make sure that your name comes up with their platform. So what will pop up is the platform you use. So if you typically use LinkedIn, Facebook, Google+, Twitter, Pinterest, Snap, whatever platform you use, connect to me on that platform and I'll interact with you there. So just Google Mitchell Levy or Google Mitchell Levy TED Talk, and feel free to go to ahathat.com/author to learn how you could either write or get us to help you write your book.
Sounds great. And you have different price points with this too?
Yeah, it's for some people who really want to write themselves, we have an 8-hour writing process, and it's less money if you write yourself than if we write for you, and so there's different price points.
So, you know, one question I like to always ask my guests, since this is the Inspire Possibility Show, what inspires you right now?
What inspires me? It's always what's new, what's next. My job, probably, Mark, is very similar to yours. I like to help people be successful. I encourage them to be the recognized experts they can. So it's what's next on my agenda. So probably a couple of things which are new is we're picking up 1 to 2 clients per week and doing 1 to 2 new books per week. So that's kind of fun. We're about to create a Aha That Radio, which will be a radio station that will stream the books of the authors 24 hours a day. So I'm excited about that. So just putting the process in place for that. Yeah. Yeah, that'll be fun.
Mm-hmm. And what gives you hope right now?
What gives me hope? We live in a time that anyone who wants to could do anything they want. You just put your mind to it. Put your mind to it and put your actions behind it. Once you see my TED Talk, you'll see we're in the transition from the industrial society to the social age. And in the social age, if you are social and you're known, liked, and trusted, you can really essentially do whatever you want. And I'm hopeful that more people in the world will learn that and live the lives they really want to live, not the lives that we were told to live, which is a part of the industrial society.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Mitchell, for being my guest and also for the work you do about allowing people to really be heard and seen. And I know that's something that you talk about, is a lot of people want to know they matter, that they make a difference. And I think you provided a simple, inexpensive way so people can have that experience of being seen, being heard, and to be recognized in the way they want to be recognized. So thanks so much for being my guest on the Inspire Possibility Show.
Mark, my pleasure. Isn't it all about making you the best person you can? That's what inspiring possibilities are.
Exactly.
And that's what I love doing. And I great talking to you. Happy to support you and what you're doing. Let me know how I can help you going forward.
That'd be awesome. So again, folks, every week I invite various individuals that I consider cutting-edge thought leaders, people that will enlighten us, share us, and share with us, inspire us. And in the meantime, until next week, journey on. Thanks for listening. I hope you feel inspired to take the next step in your life. And if you haven't already, please take the time to visit my website at inspirepossibility.com and discover the various services and products we offer that could just very well change your life.